Well, this morning we looked at the Lord sending someone to bring people out of captivity. We noticed that our God was sovereign, that he was omnipotent, that he was omnipresent, and he was omniscient. And that's a comfort to the Christian tonight, to know that our God is all these things. He's a God who cannot lie. He's a God who cannot let us down. He's a God that is able to fulfill all his purposes. We don't rely on the things of this world. We use them because they're there, but we don't rely on them. We rely on our God and in his word. And this morning the heading was coming down and bringing out to bring in. Coming down. In Exodus chapter 13 it told us there that God came down to see his people who were in Egypt. He came down to see the afflictions that they were under. And he sent Moses. So God came down to take them out and to bring them in. And the bringing in was the land of milk and honey. But it was only a temporary place. But tonight we've just changed one word in the heading. And the heading tonight is coming down, bringing out, to bring up. The Israelites went in, but the Christians going up. So that's the one word that was I've changed. Instead of bringing in, it's bringing up. The word in was a timely and earthly bound promise. God promised to bring them out of Egypt, and he promised to put them into the land of milk and honey. And he did it after 40 years. So it was a timely and an earthly bound promise. It could go no further than earth. But when we say they'll be bringing out to bring us up, the word up is an eternal and a heavenly promise. What the Israelites experienced came to an end, as it were. But what God has promised for the Christian will never come to an end. He has promised us eternal life. He himself is eternal life. And heaven is an eternal place. And for the Christian tonight, if you're a Christian tonight, and this is your place, that your abode. The scripture tells us, I think it's in Micah chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says, this is not your rest. There's a rest to come for the Christians. In other words, what the Bible is saying, don't have roots on this world. Because we are only sojourners. We're only just passing through. So bringing out and bringing up. We need to ask the question, bringing out of where? Where is God bringing us out of? We're not in captivity. We're not in Egypt. So where is God bringing us out of? Well, Galatians 1. In verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. He's going to deliver us from this evil world. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 6, this is where he's delivering us from. This is us in this evil world. And you hath he quickened, we were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were. Notice we were. He's encouraging them that you're not now, or you shouldn't be. We said this morning about walking in the Spirit. We should be walking in the Spirit and not according to this world. And Paul's saying here that this is where we were. We were in this evil world. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And he has come to release us. And he hath raised up us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Bringing us out of where? Bringing us out of sin. Paul tells us, and we read it this morning, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's delivered us from where? He's delivered us from eternal death. He's delivered us from the judgment seat. He's delivered us from hell. Now, people don't want to talk about hell. People don't want to listen about hell. People don't believe there is a hell. Some people believe that this earth is a hell. I've had it told me when I was on the streets, this is hell. And I say, well, I can prove that it's not hell. Because no Christian will ever enter into hell. And I'm a Christian, and I'm certainly not in hell, because a Christian can't go to hell. So he's bringing us out of where? He's bringing us out of condemnation. What a wonderful thing it is this evening, my dear friends, that we experience peace with God. Peace from God, because we have peace with God. So where is he bringing us out from? He's bringing us out from our sin. And where is he bringing us to? Well, Revelation chapter 21 tells us just exactly where he is going to take us to. Revelation chapter 21. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. There's a new heaven and a new earth. There's a place for your feet. When we talk about going to heaven, we have the impression that it's in space. But the Bible tells us there's going to be a new earth. And we need to have a new earth because we're going to have a changed body. It's the same shape, the same size, but it's changed. It's changed in that we cannot sin. It's changed that we cannot die ever again. It's changed that we can never become ill. So we need to have somewhere where our feet can be. And the Bible said that there's not just a new heaven, but there's a new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And when you read about the bride and the husband, you just have to go back to chapter 19, and it tells us there all about this wonderful husband, this wonderful bridegroom, and how he's going to gather his bride, the church, and they're going to have that lovely meal. And chapter 19 talks again, I've maybe said this here before, and I'll say it again, because if you're not a Christian tonight, listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 19. It talks about two meals. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he that saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. But listen to what it says further on. It talks about another meal. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourselves together unto this supper of the great God. Here's another supper. And it's for those who are unsaved. And he goes on to say, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. It talks about two meals, and we're all invited to one of them. And which one will you attend to? You have to attend to one. And this is the thing. Listen. You're either going to eat, or you're going to be eaten. This is the description that God gave to John concerning when Christ comes back again and he takes us to be with him. It's terrible words, but they're true because it's an infallible word of God. It's not me that's saying this. I dread to say it because I've got children and grandchildren who are yet unsaved. These are not nice words. It's not a nice thing that's going to happen, but God says it will happen. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the being eaten is not literal. Because no one will be eaten up. The rich man, when he went to hell, he knew he was in hell. This is not literal, but it's a warning that there's going to be great pain and great sorrow. But God has made a way of escape. He sent Moses into Egypt to bring the people out and to take them to a land that was milk and honey. Where God said, when you go there, you won't have to plant, you won't have to dig. I've made sure that everything is there for you. You'll use the seed from the last year. God had made provision for them. And God has sent his Son to take the people from their sin. And he has made provision for them in heaven. A description of heaven. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. It's not nice to preach on these sort of things. But Jesus preached about them. Jesus told the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus described the feelings of the rich man, God himself. And as I said, John chapter 3 and verse 16, this is God's love for people. It's not saving horses and cows and elephants and rhinos. We might be trying to do that, but God is in the business of saving souls. And you have a soul tonight. You have an ever-dying soul. And it needs to be saved. Because naturally, as Paul read in Ephesians chapter 2, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. When we're born dead in trespasses and sins. It's when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and changes us and makes us a new creation. Bringing out to bring us up. Bringing out of where? Bringing us out of our sin and condemnation. Bringing us to where? To a place where it's wonderful. There's no four seasons in heaven because there's no winter. There's nothing that will disrupt. There's not even a sun because Jesus is the light of the world. It's a wonderful place, my friends, tonight. And I'm telling you about a wonderful place where you can go. If you're not a Christian tonight, then call upon the name of the Lord. For the Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to know, to go to bed tonight, to know that if the Lord should call me through the night, then my soul is safe in the arms of Jesus. Is your soul safe? Can you say tonight that your soul is safe? Are you afraid to die? Does death hold up terror? Well, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that God has conquered that we should not fear death now. You know what death does for me? Death is my coronation. Death gives me the crown of righteousness that God has laid up for me and for all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He brings us out of where? He brings us out of our sin and he takes us to a place which is new, untouched by sin. And Micah, as I've said before, Micah says, arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Christians should remember that we're only sojourners. We're only here for a time. We're only passing through. One commentator says this. As Christians, we must not be like Reuben and Gad. Why shouldn't we be like Reuben and Gad? Well, when the land was being divided up, Reuben and Gad asked Joshua if we could stay on this side of the river. They wanted to stay on this side of Jordan. They didn't want to go across the river. They saw that the land was fertile. No doubt the same as Lot. When he was asked, which way do you want to go? He looked out and he saw the mountains and he saw the green grass. And he says, I'll go this way. And Abraham says, okay, I'll go that way. And there's many Christians who want to be this side of the Jordan. They want their sin, but they want salvation. And they just don't go together. They cannot go together. So ask yourself, are you a Reuben and a Gad? Do you want your inheritance on this side of the river, I'm telling you, my friends, I'm going across that river. I'm going to go across that river. He may part the river. He may cause me to swim the river. He may cause me just to walk through the river. But my friends, I will go through that river. And every Christian will go through that river. And they'll come to the celestial city. What a wonderful city. Where the bunions saw the shining ones. And when the two pilgrims come to the river, it was dark and it was flowing and it was deep. But it was only as deep as their faith stood. Christian thought he was going to drown, he was going down. But the other one, I think it was Hopeful, he waded through, his faith was strong. But the thing was, the two of them got through. Whether it was a weak faith or whether it was a strong faith, as long as it's a saving faith, then you'll get through the river. You might have to swim, but you'll get there. And the celestial city's gates will be opened and the shining ones will invite you in. And Bunyan said, I wished it was me. I wished it was me. Because the door's closed. What a wonderful thing to anticipate the greatness of God and that place where God dwells, where there's nothing to upset us. It tells us there in the end of Revelations that nothing will enter into heaven that will defile. It can't. It's a wonderful place. And God is offering this place every day to people. He's offering it tonight in churches all over the world. He's saying, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you going to refuse such an offer? This is what William Kay says. When the delusions of time shall give way to the unveiled realities of eternity, men and women will be compelled to say, saved by grace, or we were and are fools. Which one will you be saying? When the reality, the delusions of time shall give way to the unveiled reality of eternity. In other words, when you stand on judgment day and you're judged in Matthew chapter 25 and you're sent away into hell, you'll say to yourself, we were, or I am, I was, and I am a fool. Because God says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, my dear friends, I plead, I implore you, come to Christ. He's the only salvation. We're told in Acts chapter 4 that there is no salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved, Jesus says. Listen to these four things that we've not to look for. We've not to look for that in the law which can only be found in the gospel. People are trying to keep the law. They look for the law for their salvation. But the scripture says, don't look to the law for your salvation. Look for the only place where you can find salvation, and that's in the gospel. The gospel's not against the law. The gospel works with the law. Secondly, look not for that in yourselves which can only be found in Christ. That's why Paul writes to the church, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to his mercy. Don't look for that in yourselves. I'm good enough. I've never done anything wrong. Surely God's going to accept me. It's me. I go to church. I'm even a church member. I could even be a church preacher. How many preachers tonight are not saved? So don't look for that in yourselves, which can only be found in Christ. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. Don't look for that in the creature, which can only be found in the Creator. Don't look for that on earth, which can only be found in heaven. Look, look, look. There is life for a look at the crucified one. I don't think it's in our book. But that's what you have to do. Everyone that was bitten in the desert by a snake died unless they looked to what God said to Moses, make a serpent and put it on a big pole so that everyone that looks towards the serpent will be saved, will not die. You could imagine a far away young son who has been bitten by a snake, and he takes him and he lifts him up and he says, look to that there, son, look to that there. And his son would be saved. He wouldn't die. A mother with a young baby in her bosom who was crawling about and was bitten by a snake, she would take the young child and she would take it to where she could see this bronze serpent. You see, it was just a look. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to do anything. He just had to look. And Jesus says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Isaiah chapter 45, 22 tells us that. Just look. Look at the crucified one. Look at the one who's hanging on that cross. Look at the one who's shedding his blood. If you look, you'll be saved. But if you're like those who went away rubbing their breasts, they were unsaved. Today, God says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts, for today is the day of salvation. God has given us a time. He's given us a way. He's given us a firm promise that if we do what he says, then we shall be safe, saved for all eternity. Now, I know a number of us here tonight are saved. And we're going to spend eternity together. We're going to enter into eternity at different times, in different places, and on different occasions, but we're all going to be there. And we're all going to be round that supper table. Oh, my friends, it grieves my heart when I see my neighbours and I see my own sons and my daughters and my daughter and my grandchildren. I've got 8 grandchildren. I've got 1 at the moment, great-granddaughter. And they're unsaved. And they're walking about with a noose above their neck. Not literally, but it's there. And at any time that trap door could go. And they would be lost. But for us here tonight, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that you may go in. It's at Calvary's tree where you begin when you come to the Lord as a sinner. Will you come? Will you come? He says in the scriptures in John chapter 6, he who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. He has never been known to say no. The young men that came, the young lawyer that came, he didn't say no to them. He said something to them and it didn't affect their soul because they wanted their money. They wanted their inheritance on this side of the Jordan. They wanted to keep what they had, but they wanted to have salvation. And we can't have both. What we have will go. I've often said to my wife, there's no pockets in shrouds. No pockets at all. You can't take nothing with you. You come into the world naked, and naked you go out. But as soon as you go out, you own all things. Because you're a co-heir of Christ. What a wonderful thing it is. Have you got it? Do you want it? Can you have it? Of course you can. Because today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, he's been lifted up. He's died that death. He shed his blood. He has been buried for the 3 days. He has come to life again. He has been ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. And he's pointing his finger at sinners tonight and say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. For God so loved the world. That's an incredible thing, that God should love us when we have sinned against him. But he loves us. And he sent his Son to save us. Now, I'm not an Arminian, and I'm not going to plead with you. I know God's sovereign, but I believe that the gospel should be offered. Freely offered. Jesus says to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. How can you preach to everyone if it's limited? It's a universal message. But it's not a universal salvation. A universal message. That's why we open the doors. Some churches don't open their doors. And some churches, well, I wouldn't call them a church, but some places where they gather limit who comes into them. The Reformed Baptists don't. The Reformed Baptists open the doors that all may come in. All are welcome. But it's the way you go out that matters. It's not how you come in. It's how you go out. And only God can make that change. Let's pray.